is no life. Is no life, no life without its hunger. Without its hunger, each restless heart. Turning. Oh, you raise me up, so I can stand
on mountains.
You raise me up,
to walk on
stormy sea. Oh, I am strong. Can be when I
am down.
I know my soul so weary. When troubles come and my heart burden me, oh, then I am still. Can be. Oh, you raise me up, so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up, to walk on stormy seas. When I am down,
when I am down,
I know my soul so weary,
my soul so weary.
When troubles come,
troubles come,
and my heart burns, then I am still,
then I am still.
Come
until you come
and sit a while with me.
Sit a while.
blessed be the name of God. Bless thy people, O Lord. Bless our assembling together today. Bless the gathering of the saints to hear thy word. Supply all our needs according to thy riches and glory. Bless the word and supply our spiritual needs today. Bless the sick and the afflicted. Lift them up from the beds of affliction, even the unsick. Cry for healing is so great around the world. Send forth your word and heal. Touch your people everywhere. Bring redemption. Touch your people, O Lord. Touch them body and soul. Remember them. Oh, God. There is such a need today. Such a great need today. Such a great need. You are still a healer. You are still a savior along as the earth continues. Permit our lives with a message into your hands today. Permit your people with all their cares, with all their fears, with all their needs. Bless your people. We thank you for deliverance of all kinds. Bless your people. Bless the word today. Bless your servant as you speak the word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. And there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, he must be born again. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh he to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, their days are wrought in God. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy words, and may be seated. Out of St. John, the 3rd chapter, and I will read yet another scripture taken from the book of James, 13, 3rd chapter, 13 to the 18th verse. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. May the Lord add a blessing to this portion of the scripture. That was James 3, 13 to 18. And right there, it reveals that there is a world above and a world beneath. One little thing I would like to do, we are talking about approaching the Lord for the healing of our bodies. And while I'm saying that, I am wondering, all those who would like to approach the Lord on behalf of some healing or deliverance, you know, in some way that will indicate by the lift of your hands, let me see. All right, we have quite a number, and I will assume that that could be maybe 100 and something people. Our approach will be a little different. This is not the day that we have put aside, but I am waiting to feel that faith coming from the congregation and even from my own heart. So we must approach the Lord in faith. I want you to continue to make your lives right. Sin causes sickness. And sickness is an attribute of sin. And you may not consider that, and you come for healing up here, you first have to consider, have I done something wrong somewhere down the line? You have to seek and search that out, try to put that under the blood. So when you approach the Lord, you approach him without condemnation. So I will give you a little more time to do that until we find faith moving in the congregation. And I will talk to you a little more about, you know, healing, divine healing. But this morning I will speak to you again on the two spiritual worlds. And the board is always an inspiration, so we'll put it up briefly. It's a little warm in the building, but I'm sure that we could look at it for a few minutes and speak on the two spiritual worlds, and I will subtitle it, you know, Anointing and Possession of Demon Power. Anointing and Possession of Demons. So, I guess that your mind is still on this subject, and it seems like there is no end, because it covers the entire Bible. From Genesis to Revelation speaks of these two worlds. Yes, we are interested in the spiritual world of the Lord. And just to bring back the minds of some, and not only that, but sometimes people are here for the first time. People hear the tape for the first time. One tape may fall into their hands and they want to know, what are they talking about? So repetition is a great way of teaching. And we try to repeat. Sometimes it's boring to some people that, you know, are used to all these things, but I don't think it should be. It's not boring to me. I love to hear about the spiritual dimension. Yes, it is, you know, designed, was designed by our Lord. And on the board, we have here depicted three worlds. And people right there who never heard this say, what is he talking about? Three worlds. Yes, but there exists three worlds. And this natural world is one of them. And then besides that, we have two spiritual worlds, one of Satan and one of the Lord. Another word that you can use for that is two kingdoms. Yes, and that is understandable in the Bible. And Jesus preached the kingdom of heaven when he came upon earth. He said, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto this. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. A little later he said, except a man be born of the water and the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is likened unto 10 virgins. Yes, the kingdom of God is likened unto a man that made a great feast. And on he preached the kingdom of God. When he preached the kingdom of God, he was trying to tell you that there is a spiritual world that belongs to God. And then on the other side, he preached about hell and the lake of fire. And he spoke about hell more than any preacher in the Bible. And warned men about the regions of the lost. So we call that the region of the lost. And right there on your board, we try to depict what the Bible is speaking about. Now these two kingdoms, they have two rulers. God is the ruler of his kingdom, and Satan is the ruler of his kingdom. So, we try to depict that on the board. And we are saying, in God's kingdom, there are three major realms of the spirit. And in Satan's kingdom, there are three major realms of that kingdom. So it is marked out there. Those who want the diagram could always take it. But over on this left side, we try to depict the kingdom of Satan. So we have, first of all, celestials. That is a body that is given to man after he die as a sinner. Because this human body will burn out a little too quick. So the Lord designed a certain body for him to be in the lake of fire, beaten with many stripes, many thousands of years, and yea, into millions of years. And then we have in that realm there the souls of the unjust. If a man dies rejecting God's mercy. And that is found in 1 Peter 3:18 to 20. And then a little lower, going down to hell, we have demons and we have what we call evil spirits. And then a little lower down, we have a hell and the dominion of Satan. Now the kingdom of Satan is negative. Is a negative kingdom, and everything in that kingdom is lost. Is lost. Everything in there is lost. From Satan unto his angels, and the souls that reject the mercy of God all is lost. And we ventured out already, there could be trillions of souls in there, and one-third of the angels was cast down from heaven, according to Revelation 12, and they could be in the billions. They could be in the billions. And that place is well inhabited. And when our Lord came, he said that hell has enlarged her gates to receive you, a wicked and adulterous generation. So now on this left side here is the kingdom of Satan. Everything in there is lost. And on the right hand side here, we see a stream going upward, and that is the Holy Spirit, the souls of the just, those that receive their mercy and pardon from the Lord, going upward this way. And then second to that is the angels and the theophanies, and then we have the kingdom of God of mansions and houses and grass and trees and buds and fruits and flowers. Yes, and waters, and the Bible says it has not entered into the heart of man the things that he has prepared for them that love him. It will take, brothers and sisters, a little time, oh my, to think of the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But hear what he says, but God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Yes. And then a little higher up is the throne of God, God's throne, and that is right through the Bible, Isaiah 6, Revelation 4, and right through the Bible concerns itself about the salvation of man, angels. We have had angelic activities, then we had God coming down in human flesh, right? We see that right in Genesis and the Garden of Eden. We see one time that he visited the earth, and when man built the tower, and he said, let us go down and see what they are doing. And a little later on, he appeared unto Abraham, yes, and he appeared to him in the form of a priest called Melchizedek. And then a little later on, the Lord robed himself in a body of flesh. Yes, human flesh, and was born from a woman. Yes, and his name was Jesus. And his whole plan was to bring man into his kingdom, the kingdom of God. Therefore he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the spiritual realm of God. Except a man be born again of the water and the spirit, he cannot enter into this kingdom. So, he came for the purpose of drawing us out of the kingdom of Satan, yes, and establishing us in his kingdom. A kingdom of peace, a kingdom of joy. My eye cannot help but be joyful when we think of that. Just imagine that one day, not one day you'll be sorry. Not one day you will be depressed. Not one day you will cry because of sorrow. Imagine that. Not one day you have to correct anybody. It's a kingdom of perfection. Perfection plus perfection. Let us dwell on these things. Bible says, let us dwell on these things. If we will dwell upon these things, this world will pass away. Yes, sir. So, with the world, these two spiritual worlds, people don't realize it. But we live in this natural world, and the whole world is caught between, this natural world is caught between these two spiritual worlds. Yes, and we as human beings here this morning, those that are on the streaming, the Lord bless you. Yes, those that will hear the tapes, Wherever you are gathered, you are influenced from one of these kingdoms. I'm trusting that you are influenced from the kingdom of God. And if you are not influenced from the kingdom of God, it is not too late. Yes, you could cut off the influence of Satan in your life and start being influenced by the Lord. That's the purpose of the whole gospel. The purpose of the whole gospel is to translate you from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of his dear son, Jesus Christ. Yes, that's what the Bible said. Yeah, that was the work of Jesus. That was the work of all the apostles. That was the vision of all the saints. And that was to be translated from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this scripture over here in the book of Revelation, not Revelation, but St. John 3, is bringing out this fact to show you the mission of our Lord Jesus, speaking to a ruler that came to him by night. And what did he preach to him? He was preaching to him about coming into the kingdom of God. But there was a way to do it. You've got to be voted into this kingdom and realm of God. Yes. You've got to be voted. The only way that you will come into the spiritual world of the Lord is to be voted into that kingdom. Now, if you have to be voted, something went wrong. And that is what I will stay on for a few minutes. Something went wrong with the first birth. Something is wrong with the first birth. That is why Jesus came and said he must be born again. Why? If, you know, people, you know, don't comprehend that. You know, they say God make everybody, and who made you? They taught us in school, who made you? God made you. Well, yes, after a while we realize that father and mother made us. Well, now we hear the gospel, we are realizing something else. That we must be born again. Then something is wrong with that first birth. Something is definitely wrong with that first birth. Yes. So we are caught between these two spiritual worlds here. Yeah, that is on the left and on the right. You are influenced from one of these worlds. And by God's grace, we can say that we are influenced from the kingdom of God. This is the purpose of our gathering. And we are not satisfied with that influence. We want to come under the full influence of God. And that is why we gather, you know, every service. We gather here and sing and we worship and we praise the Lord. We feel his presence. We are feeling the presence of the Lord out of that kingdom. Yes. And then it breaks all the spooky feeling from the job and from the neighborhood, from the home circle. And when we come in here, we feel holy. Even because we contact the Holy Ghost. Yes, we contact the Holy Ghost. So I think that will be sufficient for the board. And we get some fresh air coming through here. I believe we should pass out some more diagrams. Brother Stout, we're ready for the rest. We could give the people some of these diagrams. And I believe they could always refer to, you know, those things. So a little lesson here this morning. You know, from Genesis, let us go back on that a little bit. Repetition is one of the greatest way of teaching. Yes, sir. And I want to emphasize here this morning for a foundation that man was born connected to the kingdom of Satan. There is no escape outside of Jesus Christ. A man was born connected to the kingdom of Satan. A man was born connected to the fifth dimension, which is the spiritual realm of Satan. And don't try to oppose me. Man was born directly into the lost realm. I'm saying everything in Satan's kingdom was lost. And man was born with a connection and directly into the realm of Satan that was lost. And is still lost. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. There is only one thing that will redeem you from that lost realm, is the Son of God and what he done on Calvary. If only I can impress that upon your heart, brethren, I will tell you in plain words, we were born lost. He that believeth not the Son of God is condemned already. St. John 3. We were born lost. You mean to say that you are telling me, Brother Bruce, that every human being that comes into this world is born lost? Hindu, a Muslim, a Catholic, a man that live upright in this world? You're talking about kings, you're talking about monarchs, you're talking about vagrants, you're talking about all the pretty women, you are talking about all the handsome men, you are talking about all the great men of the earth. You are telling me that they are born lost? You understood me just right. You were born lost. And the fact, that very proof that we were born lost, is that God had to send his Son into the world to save us. Now, if you was not lost, why God sent a Savior to save you? He was born lost in that kingdom. We were born sinners. There was not one righteous. No, not one. All of our righteousness was filthy rags. We were born condemned with a sentence of death over us, waiting to be plunged into hell. We were born with a lean towards this kingdom. I wanted to go home. Beloved, he was born with a direct connection to the fifth dimension. The fifth dimension is hell. You were born with a direct link, a direct connection to hell itself and the kingdom of Satan. This is the greatness of salvation. Somebody came our way and pulled us out of that fifth dimension. Somebody came to the earth and pulled us out of that fifth dimension. And that is by a great sacrifice. That is with a great sacrifice. Oh, mercy. By a great sacrifice. pull us out of that fifth dimension. That is why when you were born here, all that you had known was evil. And you yielded to evil. That is why father and mother had to spank you. That is why pastor had to correct you. That is why teachers had to rebuke you. Because your nature was evil to begin with. All right? Since your nature was evil to begin with, there was not one righteous. Friends, it goes to show you was controlled by an evil force. And you belong to an evil kingdom. It was voted. Now, have you ever give thought to the scripture that said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son"? Now, let us think for a moment. God had an only begotten son. How come? I'm a son of God, you're a son of God, you're a son of God, everybody is son of God. But here God is saying that I only have one son. God is saying that I only have one son. Yes. And I so love you, the people of this world, that I am going to send my own son that I claim to be my own son. I'm sending him to Calvary to redeem me. Something went wrong. Something went wrong. And that which went wrong, brothers and sisters, is back in Genesis. And the very scripture that I just read here, St. John 3, proves that something went wrong with our birth. That is why Jesus had to come and say, he must be born again. Something is wrong with our first birth. Alright? Now this brings in the serpent seed beyond a shadow of a doubt. Beyond a shadow of a doubt. Alright? Now after Satan had that angelic battle in the heavens, that is where malice, hatred, jealousy, and everything started in the heavens. And after he was cast down from the heavens, my brother, he was cast down condemned. Without a hope. Without any hope. He was hopelessly lost. All right. Now, he continued to wage war with God. And a man got involved. When God made man upon the face of the earth, Satan drafted into this war a third party. And the third party was man. So he drafted him into this war. And it's worth repeating that Satan is such a nasty creature that he, knowing that he's condemned without a hope, he intended to carry God's children into the same realm and into the place of damnation and hell that was made for him and his angel. Now he had the wisdom to do it and the knowledge to do it and the understanding to do it. Now, brethren, you heard it before. There were two ways in which human beings could populate the earth. And one was by the spoken word, and God proved that. The Bible said in Genesis 1:27, 26:20, that God made man in his own image. And he called their name Adam, and he said they were both male and female. Now that was the spoken word creation of human being. Later on in Genesis 2, about the 7th verse, and the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground. He made him a body. Right. Little later on he made a byproduct. Creation had already taken place and God had rested. So now on the eighth day, God arose and he made the woman. That is when he is perfecting a bride today, on the eighth day. So, here he had these people. Now, Satan, my brothers and sisters, he had a certain knowledge which God gave to him, which was not to be employed. It was a test of Satan. And that is to bring forth human beings by sexual knowledge. But then, children that are born that way was going to die. Man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Now, the Lord is not such an evil God to employ that to mankind. No, sir. Never. He will be a cruel, evil God to do that. Now, but Satan had that knowledge. Now, that knowledge was embedded in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The knowledge that was in that tree was the knowledge of sex. And to replenish the earth by sex. I got to speak little plain. That was the knowledge in that tree. There was another tree which was the tree of life. That was to replenish the earth, my brother, by the spoken word. All right. So now those trees standing there, now look at who he is going to come to now. This serpent never approached the man, because Adam had no womb to receive the seed to bring forth children. And Satan was willing to plant a seed to produce children the wrong way. Yeah. So he approached the woman. So what it has happened, believe it or not, as a stranger here or those that will listen to the tape, Satan had a plan. Now he is going to spite God. He is going to draft in the whole human race into his kingdom. But he got to do it by a boat. Everything that comes into the world comes by a boat. Oh my, I want you to pick up this. Now if you want to be a dog, you've got to be born a dog. A cat, elephant, fish. See what I mean? So now Satan wanted to draft in the human race into his kingdom. He had to do it by a boat. And he had that plan, and he had that knowledge. Yes, that counterfeit knowledge, that perverted knowledge to bring forth human beings into the world in this secondary way. And he decided to employ it. So he went and employed, and the woman accepted that. God warned them. He said, don't do that. The day you eat of that tree, that's the day you're going to die. All right. So she went and accepted that knowledge. And when she accepted that knowledge, believe it or not, every human being that was going to be born from the woman automatically was going to be born in Satan's kingdom. Satan's kingdom of death. Does Satan's kingdom have death? Sin and death is connected together. So then he brought these children, and brothers and sisters, as fantastic as this sounds, every human being that was born by sex knowledge became the sons of Satan and the daughters of Satan, far as their body was concerned. not the predestinated soul. But the body. All right, now I'm going to justify John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Why God had an only begotten son? Because all the sons of God was born by Seth, and they were accounted as Satan's sons and daughters. But look at the difference, my brother. Jesus was not born by sex knowledge. He was born by the spoken word. And being born by the spoken word, he became the Son of God. The only one left. So Jesus was a created son. That is why the scripture said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Yes. His only begotten son. All the rest was born by the plan of Satan, was attributed to Satan. So now they attributed to Satan. Now this son of God that was born by the spoken word of God, he was to redeem those that became captives of Satan. Yes. And had a sex birth. So that is what Jesus was explaining to Nicodemus. Now the only way that you would become a son of God now into God's kingdom, Jesus never beat around the bush. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Yeah. Nicodemus, you must be born again. A big ruler like that is, how can these things be? Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, he must be born again. In other words, that which is born of the flesh through sexual indulgence, belong to the flesh. And that which is born of the spirit, the way that I am saying, is of the spirit. He says, so don't let this surprise you at all. Yes. So, here we have all mankind coming into the world through Satan's plan. And since they came by Satan's plan, they were born directly into the fifth dimension. Born directly into his kingdom. All right. Here is another man coming. You say, Brother Bruce, you're talking about Moses. You're talking about Elijah. You're talking about all them prophets and everything. You're sure you're not making a mistake? Absolutely no mistake. Every one of them. The only one that was born by the spoken word over there was Adam. Yeah. And being born by the spoken word there, he forfeited his rights. And cause all his children to be bolted into the kingdom of Satan. Everything that was in kingdom Satan and is in the kingdom of Satan is lost. That place called the fifth dimension or the kingdom of Satan, brethren, is a lost domain. Shun that place. Shun that place at all costs. And here, this influence fell upon the human race. And I call that they were born with a lean to the kingdom of Satan. So now that's the fifth dimension. Now look at how true this is. Being born in the kingdom of Satan through sin, the wages of sin is death. So now Satan had power over the body to take it to the grave. And even though you are a Christian and you repent and you receive the new birth and you are baptized with the Holy Ghost, that power is not yet taken away from Satan. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. 1 Corinthians 15 chapter. Oh my, I hope you're not sleeping. Brethren, you say, I'm a Christian. He killed all the prophets. He killed all the Christians. Down, my brother, to all the great men throughout the seven church ages. And all the great men today, beloved, that preach the gospel, are still dying. Now it proves what I am telling you, that he has a claim over the body. Yes. But look, the great thing, God came down and claimed the soul. And claiming the soul, he said, you can't touch it, you cannot send it to hell. At the death of that prophet, as the death of that messenger, as the death of that believer, you cannot take it to hell. Take the body and put it in a grave, but I have redeemed the soul. Yes, sir. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. For in this we earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. There we are. My brothers and sisters, and the prophet, the apostle Paul went on 2 Corinthians 5. He said, I will rather be absent from this body and be present with the Lord. He said, but for your sake, I prefer to stay in this body, that I might lead you to Christ. Now, I want you to catch that. Now, Satan is given power, real power, over the body. You know why? They came into the world by his plan. By the knowledge of the tree that was in the garden. You know, God cannot break his word. He's a just God. He's a righteous God. And the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. That's God's law. And Satan caused the human race to sin. Then God got to allow him to do that, because the wages of sin is death. So then Satan held the power of death, and he still holds the power of death until it is taken away from him a little later on. So now the sealed book was opened for that purpose, to take away the power of death from the hand of Satan. Yes, that's the reason for the opening of the seals. Yes, but it is going to go into action by the revealing of the seven thunders in the days to come. Are you enjoying it? Oh my, it is sweet. I like to go back. I like to go back and think of the great redemption plan that the Lord drew upon. And then he had the power over the body, to kill the body. Now Satan did not have the power to put the soul to death. Satan don't have the power to put the soul to death. Nobody had the power, my brother, to bring the soul that don't repent into custody, into prison. You know, Jesus clarified that. He said, fear not those that can kill the body, but after that, can do no more. He said, but rather fear him that had power to destroy both the body and the soul in hell fire. And all Satan could put this to death, but even the sinner's soul, Satan cannot put it to death. No. The Lord reserved that power. And then on the day of judgment, when man come before the white throne judgment and he is judged, then the Lord come out there and he said, okay, you're fit to die. Your soul will die. Now the Lord has created a lake of fire to put to death the soul. And death and hell was cast into the lake of fire, Revelation 20. Huh? Death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So there was a second death. Children, there was a second death. Little ones, this here goes to the grave. If it dies, but then your soul lives on. And only God could put that soul to death. That brings in your lake of fire from Revelation 20. That the Lord, he has that lake of fire there to put them souls to death. That fail to accept him in their lives. So there was only one way that the soul is going to die, and that is because of sin. So it is recorded in the book of Jeremiah, there, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. It is recorded in Romans 6, the wages of sin is death. You see, there was a penalty that goes with it. There's a penalty that goes with sin. You continue in sin, there is a punishment for that. The wages of sin is what? Death. That ain't talking about the body, necessarily the body. No, it is talking about the second death. Because look, we have repented and we strive to live above sin and we still die. Alright, look back in the Garden of Eden and you will see that when they ate of the wrong tree, the Lord said, the day you eat it, you're going to die. The wages of sin is death. The wages in Genesis of sin was death. Alright, and death comes first to the body because of the original sin. Because of the original sin, death comes to the body. But then, friend, the real aim is the soul. That is what Satan was targeting. He wants to bring these souls into that region of the loss. Yes, and make them share the punishment of the lake of fire later on. That is his real aim. That is his ambition. That is his desire. Don't let him do that to you. No, don't let him do that to you. So, the way to come out of this kingdom of Satan, the spiritual world of Satan, is to be birthed out of that kingdom. Jesus laid down the rules and he said, except a man be born again of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. All right, you were somewhere else then. If you had to be born again to come into the kingdom of God, it goes to show you did not belong to the kingdom of God. Then you belong to another kingdom. And that kingdom was Satan's kingdom. And what brought you there is your birth. Now the serpent seed can be proven, my brothers and sisters, without a shadow of a doubt. Yeah, people say, I don't believe in the serpent. That is what you're going to tell us, that Eve went with the serpent? Absolutely right. Yeah. absolutely right. She went with the serpent. Yes, and she became pregnant for the serpent. And she brought forth a beast called Cain. Yes, sir. And out of that beast called Cain, that was the progenitor of the giants. And if you don't believe that, tell me where the giants came from. God never created the giants in the beginning. He created my brother fishes of the sea and fowls of the air and elephants and whales and dinosaurs. There was not one place where God ever created the giants. And they were supposed to be human beings. Now, if he created the giants, then that will be two different creation of men. And Genesis only accounts for one creation of man. A man and a woman, real people. Real people. But then, my brother, when the time go on, we come to find out that there was a giant called Goliath and the sons of Anak. And there were giants in the land in those days. Genesis 6. Where they came from? They came from that serpent line. Yes, and I tell you, this thing is terrible. Yeah, the truth is that Eve went in the backyard and she lay down with a monkey. I'm putting it in that way for you to understand. She left her husband home and went, my brother, in the cow pen and lay down with the monkey. It was an animal. The beast was an animal. Yes, and the first sin of corruption and immorality, my brother, was bestiality. God knew what was in man. And right down here in Genesis, he tells them, he says, if a woman approach unto a beast, both the beast and the woman shall be killed. Yes. And he gives you a whole line of what is in man and what is in that evil nature. And that was the first sin that he committed. She went and lived with a beast called the serpent, not a reptile. Don't be stupid. Yeah. Not a reptile. It was called a beast. Yes. Only when the beast get the curse, then it joined the reptile family. And it says, upon thy belly shalt thou go. That's the time that the beast start going on his belly. Because he lose, my brother, all the features of a man, of hand and feet, everything. And then he's joined the serpent family. Not the serpent reptile family. So the snake was a different thing, and the beast, the serpent, was a different creature. Yes, and she went in the backyard and laid down with the beast. You talking about wickedness that is in people? Introduce this wicked thing. And when the beast crossbreed with the human race, then he brought forth a giant. And the first giant upon earth was Cain. Yes. And then you follow the line right down. Nimrod was a giant. Yes. And he's the first man that carried war to his neighbors. He's the first man that made a religion to govern all people upon the earth. And he built Babylon. All right. And then a trace over to Mystery Babylon, which is now the Pope. All right. And he has a religion that governs all people upon the earth. Yes. There we are. Now you see what is happening here, brethren? Yes. So now this beast over here, Cain, that beast was the progenitor of the giants. And it come right up. And there was always two separate lines of people on the earth. One of Adam, through Seth. And then there was another line of Cain. And in your Bible, if you notice, that God separated them, Moses separated them, when in the writing of the Bible. Yes. And notice now in the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis, these two races was kept separated from intermarriage and from breeding with one another. And hear what the Bible says in Genesis 6. And men began to multiply upon the face of the earth. And daughters were born unto them. And in those days, there were giants in the land. And the sons of God now. Sons of God, who is Adam's son, Satan, Seth's children, and the sons of God saw the daughters of men, which were Cain's daughters. And they took them women of all that they chose. And notice what followed after that. Immediately God got angry, and he said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Yes, yet his day shall be 120 years, and I shall destroy man that I have created upon the face of the earth. What it is that got God angry, it was the crossbreeding. They repeated the same thing that was in Genesis. Yes, of high breeding, that race of beasts. Yes, back here before the flood. And notice very well that that is what God got angry for. He got angry. And he said, I'm going to give man 120 years. Yes, and I'm going to destroy man from the face of the earth. That is what God got angry for. Yes, because the two races, the serpent seed race and Adam's race, now commingle their seed. Yeah, it was not the cussing and the violence and the drinking, brethren. Not that God got angry because the two races of people came together. Yeah, giants start marrying again with human beings. That is what caused the problem. Oh, yes. Now, this is your great story of redemption. You cannot preach the story of redemption and put my brother life and sense and the sweetness in it until you bring the serpent seed. When you bring the serpent seed into that, it sweetens the gospel. It's honey in the rock, my brother. Yeah. Now I can see why I must be born again. We heard that for a long time. He must be born again. He must be born again. Why? Why? Because I was born wrong. If I was born wrong, how come that I was born wrong? How come I was born wrong? Yeah, we have to go back to the serpent seed. Yeah. Doubt the serpent seed and you'll have to doubt the doctrine of Jesus Christ. He must be born again. Anytime you doubt the serpent seed, you are doubting John 3. He must be born again. Yes. And all the churches of the devil today would not admit that. No, they have to cover up for their brother Cain. They have to cover up for their mother Eve. Yes. But we are preaching it, my brother, from the housetop. All right. So now, you know that the wages of sin is death? All right, here. Yes. There was an original sin committed in the Garden of Eden that produced death to all mankind. Do you know that? Yes. And do you know the wages of that was death? Yes. All right, here comes in our Savior and our God, Jesus Christ. Right? Jesus was none other than God putting on a human robe. He robed himself in flesh. Yes. Came through a woman called Mary by the Immaculate Conception. As by the spoken word, creative power of God. Now he went to Calvary to pay the wages. He paid the debt that we could not pay. Now, what the songwriter say, my brother? He paid the debt that we could not pay. Do you see the sweetness of the gospel? The wages of sin is death, and man's sin in the Garden of Eden. That wage, my brother, none of the prophets paid it. None of the sages prayed. My brother, 4,000 years, none of them paid it. But then, my brother, God robed himself in human flesh. Then he said, I will pay the price. To fulfill my own law, I will pay the price. Yes. And when he came here, he said, I so love mankind of the world that I am going to pay the price. And he went up there and he had to die on Calvary in order for the price to be paid. But when Jesus died upon the cross, he said, it is finished. It is finished. He said, the price is paid. And it's free. The price is paid. The wages of sin is death. Now he could give you a gift. Now he could give you the gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh my. Give him a praise offering for that, brothers and sisters. Thank you, Savior. Thank you, Savior. Thank you, Savior. Praise be to God. Oh, my. The love of God. Is rich and pure, how measureless and strong. Oh my, do you see the wage? You think them scriptures sitting there for nothing? Those apostles had revelation. They had a revelation of the serpent seed. They knew what went on there. They had a revelation of what happened on Calvary. Yeah. Those words they written, my brother Jesus, brother Paul writing, he said, the wages of sin is death. That the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Those men knew what happened in the beginning, boy. And they knew now God is such a righteous God that what he said, the day you eat, you will die. Well, if the day you eat, you will die, then the wages of sin is death. That is where it was established. Yeah, he said, the day you sin, you're going to die. Both body and soul. You will force me to send you into a lake of fire. And Satan, knowing the justice of God, he couldn't kill the soul, but he could force the hand of God to send your soul to hell. But the Lord said, I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repent. That's the will of God for you and I. The will of God for you and I, my brothers, eternal life. Children, is eternal life. God is not searching for you and looking for you and trying to find a mistake on you to dump you into hell. No, his will is to already put you out of that place. That is why he came here and died on Calvary. And he paid the wage, man. Yes, and the wage is paid. Yeah. The wage of sin is death. Yes, and all of us are supposed to die. And our souls, my brother, usher out into the region of the lost and lost hopelessly. Yes, but when he stepped down, brothers and sisters, and put on a human robe of flesh, yes, he said, I will pay the wage. I am going to Calvary. Satan, I'm going to pay the wage. The wage of sin is death. I will pay it. Yes, so he went up to Calvary and the wage was paid. And when the wage was paid before he could even appear to man, he went down into hell. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He went down into hell. And he tells the devil, he said, the wage is paid. The wage is paid. What do you mean the wage is paid? Yes, he said, hand it up, hand it up. Hand it up. Give me the keys of hell and of death and of the grave. Because it was paid on Calvary, hand it up to me here, Satan. Yes, sir. And Satan was forced to take the keys of hell, death, and the grave and give it to the Lord. Hell and of death and of the grave. Isn't the gospel sweet? Yes, my brother. Sweeter than marijuana. Sweeter than cocaine. Sweeter than rum drinking.
sweeter than all the immoral things that you could do. Yes, the gospel is sweet. Yes, give me the keys of hell, death, and the grave. And our Lord appearing to John the Divine, he said, I'm he that was dead and is alive and alive forevermore. And had the keys of hell and of death. After the resurrection, Revelation chapter 1. Say, I have that. I am holding that. It have different stages. The seals will be opened one of these days. And I will abolish death. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. I'm going to abolish that. So I am holding that. He said, but I've already given to Peter the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I give up that key. The keys to the kingdom of heaven, of how to see the kingdom and how to enter the kingdom, I already give a certain man upon the earth. Yes, sir. So there were two sets of keys. My. Two sets of keys. So now the way it was made for a man to come out of the kingdom of Satan and be translated into the kingdom of his dear son. And now Satan's kingdom is a kingdom of darkness. And that is what Brother Paul was saying, that he has translated from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of his dear son. So there is a way, there is a program. So now God had men representing his kingdom. They were the apostles, a fivefold ministry. In order to be translated from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of his son, you had to listen to the gospel. Yes, you had to be reverent. You had to obey the words of God. Yes, sir. Well, friends, although man was born into that realm of the devil, he was not helpless, you know. No, God gave him a conscience. He gave him a free will. And after giving him a free conscience and a free will to judge right and wrong, and then, friends, the Lord on top of that sent truth to every generation. He sent the truth to every generation. And man was to choose between life and death. The tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life was always standing before men in every generation. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. If God be God, serve him. If Baal be God, then go and serve Baal. And those two trees are standing right before us today. And you have a free will to choose what you want. So you have no excuse to say that this life was too hard. No, friends. No. To say that this life was too hard and I just could not make it, so just give up. And the Lord will have to understand that on the day of judgment. No. You're a liar. He will prove that you're a liar. According to Romans 2. Yes, he said the Gentiles, not knowing the law, they have a law written in them, and their conscience will excuse them or accuse them. So he said, although these Gentiles are not Jews, the laws of Moses was written in their consciences. All right, let us break that down and see something, how easy that is. The laws were written in their conscience, and they knew right from wrong. Now, you know very well that it's wrong to take a gun and shoot a man and kill him. Well, the law said thou shalt not kill. You did not have to read the Ten Commandments to know that. When you kill that man, you deprive this man of his life. All right, your conscience there tell you that it is wrong to go and steal. All right, you never read the commandments, but in your mind something troubled you, that you went and interfered with something that does not belong. Thou shalt not steal. Yeah, that is it. and on we can go. Thou shalt not commit adultery. All right? It's your conscience telling you here that that wife don't, that woman don't belong to you. You're going to deprive that man of his wife and break up his house and cause his children to be vagabonds. Your conscience tell you that. You don't need a law. You don't need a law for that. All that you need is your conscience. And your conscience will excuse you, or it will convict you. It will condemn you. Otherwise, it will bear witness, yes, you're done right. There is something in man that makes him feel good when he do right. You feel religious right away. And there is something in man that when he does wrong, well, then his own conscience convict the man and let him know you've done wrong. There ain't no excuse out of this, friend. There ain't no excuse. So, let me set this straight here. When a man is born the way that he is born, all right, he is influenced from the kingdom of Satan. But he is not a helpless man, helpless woman. No. He will find it easy to yield to the things of Satan. And the things of this world, which is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Three main things that belong to this world. 1 John 2:15, 16. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now, a great part of the kingdom of Satan is the lust of the flesh. Immorality. And that is what he introduced to Eve. The lust of the flesh. That is what corrupts the whole world today. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes. And then the pride of life. Yes, it corrupted the whole world. So here, although a man had that kind of a birth, he was birthed into the kingdom of Satan, God gave him protection. And his protection from going deeper into that realm of Satan is his freedom. And his conscience. And there are men and women that don't know the gospel. Brethren, they live up to a certain standard. You know what is guiding them? Their conscience. That young woman there, if she have any morals about her, she is not going to do anything wrong until she's married. There are people that won't steal nothing from me. There are people that would not use abusive language, caution. They would not commit adultery. No. They live like that. That is what their conscience allowed them. Yes. And there are records of these things way back down there to our foreparents. They live faithful with one man until they die. They dress morally for many years. So now God did not put man into something there, and he being helpless, and then God come to judge him. On top of his conscience, God gave the man truth in every age, that he could distinguish wrong and right. Any man that goes to hell has a right to go to hell. He is given a chance at the gospel. All right, we're going to take these little things here. While a man is living upon this earth, friends, he has a free will to yield to righteousness, and he has a free will to yield more to hell and lean towards hell, if he chooses. That tells you about that. This here in Romans 6, it tells us that if we yield ourselves to sin, then we are the servants of sin. And if the righteousness, then we are the servants of righteousness. Yes? Now, that picture, get that picture. I'm coming up to something. You yield to sin. Anytime you yield to sin, you yield deeper into hell. And when you yield deeper into hell, you are yielding to death. Not so much of the body, of the soul. Mm-hmm. Now, friends, there are other people that live morally, and they live up to a certain standard. You never hear about them going to jail, touching marijuana, taking cocaine, running away with a man's wife, and they don't know the truth that you now know. No. What is guiding them? Their conscience. Their consciousness of God is guiding them. All right, here we are. On the other hand, a man yield himself to the evil things of this world. He wants money by the barrels. He wants women by the thousands. Yes. Brothers and sisters, and that is not sufficient. He wants another man's wife at the expense of breaking up that man's home. Yes. Causing much trouble. All right. He's a hateful fellow. He has murder done inside of him according to James 3, 13 to 18. The Bible said that this wisdom descended not from above, but is utterly and devilish. You're getting an influence, my brother, from the underworld here. Yes, you have an influence coming from the underworld. When you are full of hate and malice, jealousy and grudge and murder, you're influenced from that world over there. Now, it is going to change you from the human being that God made you. You see, change me from the human being God made me. Look back and see how humble you was that God made you as a child. That Jesus had to compare the kingdom of God to that child. That is the way you was born. A nice little fellow. And it's surprised to see the nice little fellow after a while. Yes, sir. Nice little fellow. You give that child, brothers and sisters, enough rope without any restriction, I tell you, he will go the wrong way. All right. So now, a person yields. So now, they could yield over here to be a murderer. Left hand side. A dope addict. A prostitute. Yeah, love of money. Marijuana smoker. They could yield to be a heretic because of their pride. They want to be noticed. Pervert the very word of God because of their pride. And that is what is happening around the message. All right, so a man could so yield himself. A woman could so yield themselves without restraint, and I will put in this word here, beyond what their conscience tells them. Beyond what their conscience warned them about. Yield. Many of us, brethren, made that mistake in our early lives. But the Lord showed us mercy. That even though we yielded because of the wrong environment, the wrong friends, yes, parentage, God came around and had mercy upon us. That while we were sinners, Christ died on the cross to save us. Yes, sir.
So now, out of that realm here, brethren, one of the most dangerous articles that could come out of that realm is the knowledge of sex. And look at what has corrupted the world today. What has corrupted the world today is immorality in every fashion. Strip down. When you see men have lost their senses to put up their pants, I tell you, it's disgusting. That men have to pass laws to tell men and women to pull up their pants. People, brethren, people have gone clear out of their wits. And I will bring back this last statement of the last message right here. We have a generation today that are hunted souls. That is, before they go to hell, and the devil use their ghosts to come back upon the face of the earth here, we have what you are seeing here in the framework of men and women are haunted souls from hell. Haunted souls. The devil has taken, brothers and sisters, possession of these souls. I'm coming up to anointed and possession of souls. And possess these souls in such a way. Look at the faces of the youths. Through your Christian eyes. And you will see the wildness in them. Brother, you better walk out of the way. We live in a reckless generation. Now what you are seeing there is a haunted generation that is upon the face of the earth. People are haunted. They are haunted souls after money. Haunted souls after immorality. Haunted souls after pleasure. Haunted souls after marijuana. After cocaine. Haunted souls, my brother, for the things of this world. They run from morning to night and they are haunted. They work from morning to night. They are haunted. Yeah. Children in the schools are haunted. People on the streets are haunted. Now, even because this generation has opened up to the realms of the devil, as no other generation has opened up. Brethren, their very countenance reflects. Listen to me. Sometimes you see some of them and you come face to face. It makes you feel to move very far. Move very far from those people. Christians, you better learn to smile. You better learn not to get angry and argue with anybody. What we have today, brethren, as bad as it may sound, is that you have men, my brothers and sisters, and a natural born brute beast. But Paul says that I wrestle with beasts at Ephesus. Yes, after the manner of men, I wrestle with beasts at Ephesus. And if Paul said that 2,000 years ago, where are we living today? You live amongst the literal seeds of the serpent. Heartless man. I'm talking about kill you for nothing. Take the money, get everything from you, and they are bloodthirsty. Bloodthirsty men. Yeah, they don't feel good until they see bloodshed. I am talking about reality, brother. It rejoices them to see bloodshed. It rejoices them to see a man in pain and agony. Yes. And they go and laugh about it when they are finished. Yes. I'm telling you. It rejoices them to rape a five-year child in front of the parents, right on the papers there. Now, you want to tell me that they are human beings? You want to tell me that those were human beings that tortured 68 million martyrs and called themselves priests and called themselves Catholics? No, brother. And rejoice in that? No, natural-born brute beasts. And Jesus seen that lineage coming. There he says, serpents! Ye generation of snakes! Why would he tell them that? Natural-born brute beasts. You pity the rest, brethren. But what I've told you there today is that we have haunted souls. We have haunted souls in the framework of children, teenagers, man and woman. We have haunted souls in high places of politicians, kings and monarchs. Haunted souls. They are. And when a demon gets upon you, you become haunted as a Christian. Your personality changes. You have no respect for pastor, nor deacons, or nobody. You just get haunted. Yeah, you better go and commit that sin. You better go and commit fornication. You better go out and commit adultery. You become haunted for sex. That's a devil that done that to you. All that you could see in front of your eyes, I want a man, I want a man, I want a man. Yeah, you're haunted. Yeah, the only thing to calm you down is the word of God. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Anytime you see that trying to overcome you and overcome you, yes, and all that you're seeing in front of you is immorality. Yes, half or immorality. Everything in front of you is immorality. I don't care about the world. I don't care about what they say. I don't care if you're haunted. Calm down yourself, child. Get into prayer and fasting. Listen to the tapes where we dealt with a lot of those subjects. Don't let your passions overcome you. Anytime you see it overcome you, you will turn around and feel sorry for yourself. Because you will come to a place where your passions are satisfied. And when you look back, you see that you are a whore. That you have forsaken the counsel of God. That you are cut off from your brethren. My God, take courage, young man. Look around and see bigger brothers than you for years upon years. Serving the Lord and paying the price. So too, young lady. Look around and see young women that is far older than you. Paid the price because of eternal life. Yes, take courage. Kneel down on your knees. Befriend such sisters. Befriend such people. Yes, and ask them how to overcome. Yes. Beloved, I hope you get what I am saying. We live in a terrible age. Look around you and you will see men and women, the sacrifice they make without a husband, without a wife. They lost their wife, they lost their husband. Yes, and they're still marching on. Yeah, and the devil put in your mind, the world is passing away. I want a boyfriend, otherwise I can't go on. I said, change your mind. That's the devil that jumped out from the realms of Satan. And has anointed you to take your soul into hell. You having problems in the flesh, young man? Find a good sister and marry. It's better than to marry than to burn. Yes. Give yourself to prayer and fasting, brethren. Yes, we were young one time. Yes, and now we are old. And friends, we never yielded to that realm of Satan. Life was too important.
The mission of eternal life is too important than to just sell out eternal life for the passions of anything in this world. Give up that idea, friend. Give up that idea. They don't understand what is going on in my flesh. They don't understand what is going on in my body. You are not the only human being in the world. Huh? Thousands are serving the Lord. Thousands around the world serving the Lord. And they are beating this body and bringing it into subjection. Yes, sir. Knowing that it would not pay off. It won't pay you off, brethren. One day in that realm of the loss. Oh, my, enough regrets that you did not stand for the word of God. Oh, beloved, anointing and possession. Christians become anointed of the devil sometimes. Yes. And you fall. You make a mistake. You run out. You talk nasty things. You are anointed of the devil. Oh, yes. You do dirty things. You are anointed of the devil. Yes, brethren. But don't ever become possessed. The anointing of the devil first come upon people, and possession follows. When possession follows, it's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing, friends. You'll be sorry for yourself. You say, divide anointing and possession, Brother Bruce, please. Brethren, Saul did all what he done. And he was King Saul, and he was only anointed of the devil. That is why when David came and played on the harp, the evil spirit used to leave him. That's an anointing. All right, let me show you another man that was anointed of the devil. A Christian. How many want to hear about a Christian? Anointed of the devil. Peter was given the keys to the kingdom. Our Lord said, I must go to Calvary for a certain reason. That was the wages of sin was going to be paid. Hear what the devil is telling Jesus. That will never happen to you. He is trying to stop the plan of God. Working on Peter's affection. Jesus had discernment. Yes, he said, get thee behind me, Satan. You know what was that? That was not possession. That was an anointing. Yes, to foul up the plan of God. And the devil could anoint you as a member of a family. Yeah, to foul up the whole house. To jump upon you with a heretic spirit. Yeah, one child start misbehaving in the family. Upset the whole family. And that is Satan coming to destroy that home. Jesus said, you think I come to put peace upon earth? But nay, rather he sought. From henceforth a man foe shall be them of his own household. Yes, he said, I've come to set at variance. Yes, and you know he called all the family members. And that is the devil that come into your house, friend, to upset you, to discourage you. A demon jump out of that realm. And that is where your election is proven. To stand up and take the word of life. And cut off your foot. Cut off your hand. And dig out your eye. There is a price to separation. Oh, maybe one of the ministers could pick up this one of these days. There is a price to separation. And it is emphasized, Brother Rama, it is emphasized in the cutting off of your arm. You think there's an easy thing to cut off your arm? No. Jesus is trying to emphasize the price of separation. You think it's an easy thing, brother, to take a knife and dig out your eye? But when you lost your good friend and you lost your heretic partner, Huh? It comes like if you take a knife and dig out your eye. And you lost your right hand. Huh? You think that's an easy thing? Well, brothers and sisters, you lost your husband or your wife. It's like taking off your right arm. That's a hard thing, you know. Yeah, that is what Jesus was emphasizing. The pains and the of separation. Yeah, the pain, Brother Ram, we would like to hear you on that subject. Yeah, the pain, the price of separation. You're a man who paid the price. I want you to show this church how many times you fall down. How painful it was. How grievous it was. Yes. And even up to now, even though the arm come out, the scars are still there. And you could look at it and remind yourself, I lost an arm, boy. I lost an eye. I lost a foot. Prepare that subject. I believe we will all enjoy it. Yeah, brethren. All right, so now these two people here, Saul and Peter, as the example, they were anointed of the devil. That devil never get down into Peter. All right, let me show you where all the apostles were anointed one time. How many ones? There was on Mount Olives. And Jesus said, this is the hour and the power of darkness. They swear that they won't leave him. When them devil came down there and anointed them, they fled naked. That's an anointing. Now let me show you possession. Over here on the supper table. Right, who is the betrayer, Lord? Nobody had known him. Man, the fellow had fruits of the Spirit. And the Bible says Satan entered into Judas Iscariot. Simon, son. There we are. That's possession. Possession of the devil. And like that, you could pick out in the scriptures possession and anointing. Yes. And now Christians, they come under the anointing of the devil. Even though they are saved, even though some of them are born again, even though some of them are not born again, they come under the devil. Now, for a man to know that the prophet of God said that breaking the speed limit is premeditated murder, knows that, sit down and hear that. Pastor spoke to you, called you personally, and said you don't do that, you will kill yourself. You will kill others. Your soul is not yet ready for heaven. You may go to hell on top of that. And to go and do that in a reckless way. And when corrected, you behave arrogantly. And rebuke the brothers. And a Christian policeman meets you on the way. And you talk so big and rebellious. Friends, you are not far from possession. I'm still putting it in the category of anointed. And I want to tell you this, your soul is lost yet. For you to hear these messages on the spiritual world, and I standing here, yes, under adverse conditions, and trying to bring that and pull your soul out of that realm. And for you to go out of here. And fuss with your brother the very night. Go out the following day. Fuss again. They try to correct you. Still fuss, you have a devil inside of you. Your soul is lost yet. Your soul is lost. Yes. Soul is lost. And I've seen that God has given a warning out here. I will deal with that one of these days. The Lord is going to deal, my brothers and sisters, with a lot of people in harsh measures. I've seen it in the making. And you see, these backsliders that are coming back under those conditions, that's the hand of God. That's the hand of God. Something is about ready to happen. Something is about ready to happen. Yes. So now that realm, brothers and sisters, of pride, greed, heretics, heresies, religions, education, all is coming out from the lost dominion of Satan. Yes. And you could be a Christian seated here and be anointed of the devil. And especially when you start resisting correction, you are in trouble. If you are a child of God, he is going to chastise you. And if you are not a child of God, you go on resisting correction until you become possessed. You say, Brother Bruce, tell us about a people that resisted correction. And the Lord allowed them to be demon possessed. God gave us the whole, brothers and sisters, of the movement of 1906 right up to the present time, who rejected the counsel of God. Among them today, they are homosexuals, adulterers behind the pulpit, fornicators, liars, thieves, violent men, even murderers. And you're talking about a love of money, which is the root of all evil. Those people, after being anointed of the devil, rejected truth and they became possessed. They became possessed. We're going to close in a few minutes. I'll cut here. Let the musicians get ready. Now, a notable figure of demon possession is the man we refer to as Legion. What course did this man take to reach into that situation? Eternity will unfold. But it shows me how far and how much a man could lean towards the kingdom of the devil. And how great a deliverer our God can be. That no matter what is your situation here today, our God is able to deliver. But God gave you a free will to yield to his kingdom, or to yield to Satan's kingdom. Now look how bad this man was possessed. He was possessed with about 6,000 demons. Now that shows you the capacity of the soul. How great the soul is. That God didn't choose to live in heaven, nor choose to live upon earth. He said, the earth is my footstool. But, brethren, he chose to dwell in a man's soul. The greatness of that soul, we cannot comprehend it. If it is a house for God, it is prepared in the likeness of the natural temple, or a natural dwelling place where it will be comfortable for God. And the devil, knowing the beautiful thing a soul is, he desired to dwell in there. Yes. He desired to dwell in that soul. And one man having 6,000 demons inside of him expressed to us the capacity of the soul. And that was not the end of it. Now, this man became so possessed until he was just controlled by those demons. He went to the tombs, he went to the cemetery. He had no clothing. He cut himself with stones and screamed day and night. That shows you the torments of hell. It gives you a picture that if the devil could do that to a man outside here, while he's living upon earth, it gives you an idea of what will happen to the man when he reaches into that realm. So the man was directly connected to hell in its full state. But he was elected of God. And the Lord passed through Gadara. He had a certain reason for passing through Gadara. Can you picture him? Everybody was afraid to pass that way. Because that man became so strong with the demons until he bust the chains and he slew a lot of people. And this man, about 135 pounds, walked off the ship. And he was calmly walking up to the tomb. And he received multiple warnings of the madman that was living among the tombs. They begged him not to go up there. And he was calmly walking, and brothers and sisters, he heard the screams. He heard the wailing. But he had compassion upon this man. The man was elected of God. His time of deliverance had come. Yes. And the devil, brothers and sisters, anointed that man in such a way. Yes, even worse than he ever was in life. Because the presence of the Lord was approaching. But there was something good in that man. He did not want to be that way. And while those devils would have taken that man and run him far up into the mountains or something to get away from Jesus, that man still had his will working and his desire. And something in that man caused that man with an extra effort and great willpower to keep coming to Jesus until them devils were helpless. Yeah. And he came straight to Jesus, yes, and gave himself up. The man was not himself. Demon. And you know, Jesus stood up there. What is your name? He said, we are legion, for we are many. We're just not one devil here, we are many. A legion is an army in the Roman army, and is numbered about 6,000 demons, 6,000 soldiers. And friends, all that Jesus, they sat on the bed, Jesus, don't send us into the deep. In other words, there was no mischief that we could do there. Yes. And then Jesus commanded them to go into the hawks. Yes. And the demons went out of this man. And the hogs had enough sense to run down the precipice and die instead of having these devils inside of them. Now, but the beautiful thing is, brother, to see the great deliverer that our God is. He asked them devils to leave the man. Immediately, the Bible said, and he was clothed and in his right mind. Let the musicians come. He was clothed. I imagine my brothers and sisters, they are sitting together on a log. Jesus and the man that was the demoniac. Clothed and in his right mind. I'm telling you that demons get people haunted. They get legion haunted and send him to the tombs. Cut himself with stones, scream day and night, Listen to the screams of these demons in these songs, in the music, in the parties, in the ovals. That is not natural, brethren. Those are haunted souls. And this man was a haunted soul while he was here upon the earth, day and night, screaming, screaming, and carrying on. But then our Lord stopped the devils upon him, and with a word, come out of the man. And what they were saying, hast thou come to torment us before the time? No. Come out of the man, leave the man alone. And he was clothed and in his right mind. You think all this nakedness upon the face of the earth, do you think it's just styles? These people are possessed by millions of demons. For a woman to strip her clothes right down, my brothers and sisters, and be practically naked, it's a terrible thing. It is haunted souls. Women with these kinds of clothes in the church, with pants and shorts, and vulgar wearing, they are haunted souls. When you're haunted, you don't know what again to do. How do you express hauntedness, Brother Ruth? You just don't know what to do again. Yeah. And these women, along with the men, they don't know what next to do. The politicians are possessed. Yeah, to allow that in a nation. Yeah, demon possessed. So we are living amongst a generation who are all haunted souls. Outside of those that have given their lives to the Lord. And we should thank God that we are clothed and that we are in our right mind. We are clothed, brethren, and in our right mind. Clothed by the word of God. Clothed by our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are in our right mind. We humbly thank the Lord for His grace. For He has paid the price that we could not pay. May the Lord bless your hearts. I trust that you enjoy this message also. Yes, thank you for your patience. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for your cooperation always. May the Lord bless your hearts. Give us a song. Let us stand.
Once my soul was astray from the heavenly way. One was wretched and vile as could be. But my Savior above, who gave me peace, joy, and love, for when He reached for me, oh, when He reached down His hand, oh, when He reached down His hand for me, oh, when He reached, when He reached down His hand. Down.
For when will he do me again? Oh, and he should be that I could be free. Oh, then he lifted my feet. Oh, give me glory, come near. Oh, when he reached darling hand of me, oh, when he reached down his hand for me. Oh, how my heart doth rejoice since I made him my choice. Oh, from the tempest to him now I flee. Oh, I'm secure. Oh, since he reached down his hand for me. Oh, when he reached down his hand.
Speaking to us today, oh God, since the opening of the seals revealing things that had not been uttered from the foundation of the world, we rejoice that our ears can hear and our hearts can understand. Thank you for the patience of your people today. Bless those who were streaming and bless those who will listen to these tapes. Bless your children as we go out for a little intermission. Bring us back and bless your servant that will follow. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. The Lord bless your hearts until we return.